Heavenly Father, we would simply just commit this time to you over again. And Lord, our desire is to hear your heart from your word. And Lord, that the eyes of our hearts might be open to understand. And Heavenly Father, for this we will give you all the glory. In the name of our beloved Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to, as most of you know, and some of you might not, and not for the point of just speaking about it, but Judy and I, of course, have just taken a trip from one side of this country to another. I'm back again. And so the one-minute rundown is we left from here and we went up to Michigan. We went across Michigan on a high-speed ferry, marvelous. And then we went from there to the Badlands, from the Badlands to Yellowstone, from Yellowstone to San Francisco, from San Francisco down the coastal highway there as far as we could before we could no longer go any further because the bridge was washed out, and then back up again. And then we visited the Tetons. And from the Tetons, we went to Sequoia and Grand Kings Canyon and Yosemite, and then over this pass over the Sierra Nevadas, heading back this way, called Sonora Pass. And then we went down, we went through Death Valley, and then from Death Valley, we went to the Grand Canyon, and from the Grand Canyon to the Maroon Bells, which are up by Aspen. And then from there, we went to Pikes Peak, and then we visited the Ark on our way back across the country that they built. Where is that?
Lexington.
Lexington, there. And then we made it home. Yay! Yeah, that was... So we've been busy, but I tell you that this to... tell you that to tell you this. When we started our little journey, we decided that we needed to get an America the Beautiful Pass to get us all into all the parks. $80 does the whole thing. And seeing we needed to get one, I said, well, Judy wanted to go down before we left. So we said, well, let's go down to Assateague Island. And there we'll dip our feet in the Atlantic Ocean, and we'll buy our pass, and then when we get to the Pacific, we'll do the same thing over the other side. And so before we started, we went down and got our pass, and so while I waited in the car, Judy disappears off, and she comes back with the America the Beautiful Pass. It's a little credit card thing. And then we were ready to start our journey. I tell you that to tell you this. I could have taken the pass and gone on my own. But the pass wouldn't have done me the slightest bit of good if I was on my own. And the reason the pass wouldn't have done me any good was because my wife had signed the back. So when we drive up to the first window, I give them the pass, and they look at the pass, and then they look at the name, and they say, do you have an identification? Well, I guess I didn't look much like a Judy. So from then on, every time we entered a park, she would hand me her pass and her driver's license. And I say that to say this. I needed her with me on the journey. Having said that, I want to now visit Philippians, out of which I want to pull a few little passages of Scripture. I'm in Philippians here, and it's chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 8. Down to verse 14, where it says this, yet indeed I also count all things but loss. Of course, this is Paul recounting His experience, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, who for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forwards to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the outward calling of Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. And as I looked at this scripture, there are one or two things that have stood out, but my primary observation of this, it's a story about a journey. It's the Apostle Paul, and he is in this whole book. It is an encouragement to the Philippians on their spiritual journey. And the journey in this, he is telling them what to take and what to leave behind. You know, we talk about the Christian life, and it is indeed a pilgrim life. It is a journey, isn't it? And we journey through this life. And we have to remember, it's easy sometimes to lose focus on the journey. And we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, don't we? So, there were a number of scriptures that stood out to me, or passages of scripture, where it says these four or five things. In that passage of scripture, that I might gain Christ is one of them. Not having a righteousness of my own is another. The righteousness of God that depends on faith is another. The upward calling of God in Christ is another. And finally, I press on towards the goal for the prize. Now, in any journey, where does this journey... Let me give a thought out there. Instead of America the beautiful, how about heaven the glorious? That's our destination, isn't it? I'd like to break those things down into what is essential, what we don't need to take with us, what we do need with us, where we're going, and how we get there. And so, if we look at Philippians 3 and 8, that I might gain Christ, I would say that this is an essential. Don't leave home without it. And as I was thinking about this, as we think of our salvation maybe You know, and at the beginning of our Christian walk, we meet the Lord, we have our salvation, don't we? And in many ways, we have a pass, don't we? But there's, just as I discovered with my America the Beautiful pass, that I needed my wonderful wife with me, not that I would have dreamt of going without her. But we as believers, we need somebody with us, don't we? The pass plus the Lord Jesus with us on the journey. How important is it not only to know the Lord, but for him to be vibrant and active in our lives? You know, not only was my wife the name on the pass and the person with me, she is a wonderful navigator. You know, I don't know of course, with all our aids, we have Google now, and so we plug Google into the phone, and it navigates vast portions of the country for us, telling, you know, get on Route 90 and drive 560 miles, and when you come to, then turn left, you know. And so there's this navigation, but there's also a navigation that goes on, and as we're driving down, you know, we call that voice that speaks to the lady in the sky. You know, I don't know how many of you remember when the navigation systems, every time you did something wrong, would say, you're recalculating, you know? You say, the lady in the sky, she watches me, I don't know why. She sees me as I go, and where I go, I might not know. But when I stray, she'd say in a condescending way, recalculating, you know? But there, we'd be driving down the road, and at one point, she's telling me to go one way, and my wife is saying, no, we don't want to do that. We want to go this way. And the reason was, there was a pass that had just opened the day before, and Google didn't know it, but there was a sign, and my wife said, there's a sign, the pass is open. It cuts hours and hours off of our driving time. We went up the Sonora Pass and through the Sierra Nevadas. We have on board with us the Holy Spirit, who will contradict the way of the world and lead us in the way we need to go. So, the essential that I might gain Christ, the Lord Jesus traveling with us. And then Paul goes on to say, not having a righteousness of our own. And this comes in to the category of things in this spiritual journey that we don't need to take. Now, I want to the whole thing of self-righteousness and righteousness that comes from the law has been something that I pull off the shelf and kick around at length from time to time. You know, righteousness is righteousness. I mean, what is righteousness? Righteousness translates simply into equity. It's equity. And as I thought of this, I was thinking of my work life, and I have the responsibility to manage a company, and there we have an accountancy system in the computer, and so it governs everything, all my choices, everything I do We're going to go into that assistant. We're going to look. First of all, you know, we're going to bid work, and we're going to get work, and we're going to enter a job number into there, and it's going to have a budget on it. And then as we proceed with the work, we buy out materials and we pay labor, and that's all money that goes out of the system, you know. And then of course, in due time, we get paid and we get checks. And then we sit, and there's this little category called the bank. And so everything goes in the bank. And then we balance. It balances the books to tell us what we're doing. And so we live life looking at that. And it's very important. You know, I want to buy a new piece of equipment, a new vehicle or something. We look there first. And then we run a budget. Okay, if we do this, what is the implication? And so we've got it all mapped out. And so it's equity, isn't it? It's the flow of equity. But there's one thing about that whole thing. That bank I've come to call the virtual bank, because it doesn't really exist. It's a program in a computer and a way of thinking. The real block, the real bank, is down two blocks and on the other side of the road. They're the ones that keep the money. The computer doesn't keep the money. All it is a record. So we have the virtual bank, and we have the real bank. Now, of course, the company isn't mine. I don't own it. And so at any time, the owner of the company can come and even look and say, extra money. And in just a twinkling of an eye, it will disappear. It's his prerogative. That's what we're all there for. He's allowed to do that. Now, I wonder if we relate that to the way we value ourselves. Let me say that little computer and the bank in that is the virtual bank. We as Christians can keep account, can't we, in our own righteousness. It's part of the warp and woof of nature. And we figure, and, you know, it is easy as we walk along to look and say, I think I'm doing okay. Oh, that wasn't so clever. You know, the thing about that, and if we look at that as being self-righteousness, it all belongs to the earth. And at any time, the enemy can come and take away, can't he? Not having a righteousness that is of our own. Now let me paint that as contradistinct to the righteousness of God that depends on faith. This is the real bank. No matter at the end of the day what we value, how we value it. Supposing at work we have this accountancy system, but somebody gives us an endless amount of money in the real bank. And we'd be looking at this spreadsheet on a screen, whatever, the computer in the system, and we'd reckon that all we had was on that computer screen, whereas actually our resource would be in the bank down the street, and it will go unused. Not having a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness that comes by faith. We as believers have endless resource in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven. We have been set free. His grace, we've sung, we were focusing on his grace and his mercy this morning. What a bank account to have. The most wealthy banker in all of creation gives us access to all his resource by faith. It makes our own righteousness seem pretty insignificant. And not to say it's not only insignificant, it's actually a liability. His grace is sufficient. The riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus that we have access through faith. So, on our journey, we have the pass. We have the one who is able to navigate, the one who has signed the back of the pass, traveling with us. He is the planner of the trip. He designs it. And then we have not our own resources, but his unlimited resources that we access by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as equity, as righteousness. We have the resource, the whole resources of our Heavenly Father in heaven. If we live in our own resources, we will be very, very underfunded. There are a lot of Christians, I see, who are underfunded, who, having met the Lord Jesus, are not living in the wealth of the goodness that he has given us. We need to live in the wealth of the goodness of our Lord Jesus. Now, the next thing out of this passage of Scripture that caught my attention was Philippians 3 and 14, the upward call of God in Christ. And as I was thinking of this, that's kind of, we're very used to hearing that. Yet there is a need to... For me, at least, to have a fresh look at that. One of the translations says, or more contemporary, God's call through Christ Jesus to live the life above. Now, I don't know that we have to wait until we get to glory. In fact, I know that we don't, to live the life of the above life, because the Lord Jesus has said, hasn't he, that we are seated in heavenly, Ephesians tells us we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the above life. Of course, we have to spend to get there. We spend out of the account of our Heavenly Father, that righteousness that comes by faith, to have eyes to see that he has done everything, and we are indeed seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the above life. And then finally, the other little passage of Scripture is, again, in Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal for the prize. Paul uses that term, doesn't he? He's already gone through and he's looked at life and you know, first of all, he expounds earlier in 3 that the bank account he has just by being here, a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the 8th day, yada, 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 I count it all but trash. He discounted it all, didn't he? For the sake of the glory of the Lord. When he saw Jesus, all that didn't matter anymore to him. And I wonder, it's easy for that to matter, because that helps our little virtual accounting system, which gets us into so much trouble. When we're not relying on the Lord, when we're not seeing through eyes of faith the limitless resources of our inheritance in God through the Lord Jesus, the one who is walking this journey with us. The Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts day by day, the presence of the Lord with us. So I press on towards the goal. Of course, we think of the goal as the end here. Another way of putting that is, I run straight. I press on towards goal. I run straight for the goal. You know, when our children were small, Mark played on this little soccer team. He was probably 6 or 7, and he was the goalkeeper. And then he had a various array of boys and other boys and girls in this team. And they made a pretty good team, all in all, apart from the fact they had nobody to score a goal. Out of all of them, nobody could figure out that they were meant to kick the ball through the other goalposts and get the job done. And so the score was never that. They never lost by very much. Mark happened to be a pretty good goalkeeper. He stopped most all the things. It was frustrating. It was more than I could do to sit and watch the game. They'd be right up there, and all the team would be down the other end. They'd be kicking the ball, and the goalkeeper at the other end would be looking around all panicked. They wouldn't even shoot towards the goal. It was that bad. It was all I could do. More than one time, I'd get out of my seat and walk around, just walk away, because it was more than I could stand, because they couldn't manage to figure out that they needed to head towards the goal and kick the ball through the goalposts. I press on towards the goal for the prize. Are we running in a straight line towards the goal? Or are we diverted over here and diverted over there? We need to be people who have our eyes, having our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so here we are. We're on a journey with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got rid of the baggage. We have his bank account to fund this journey. And we are headed towards the goal, the high calling. So, if I had to summarize this, there are a few things we need. We don't need America the beautiful. We need heaven the glorious. That's where we're headed for. That's the parse. We have the person who has signed that in his blood. We are on a journey as believers, aren't we? This life isn't our home. We're not meant to be building houses. We're meant to be pitching tents like Abraham in this journey through this life. We have the Lord Jesus with us. And we have that life from above that we are able to experience the good of until he calls us home. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the Lord is to us and what he wants to do? And of course, our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. And so therefore, everything that we reckon we are and we have, we don't need that clutter just as Paul, but we need Christ with us. Faith in God. And may the Lord quicken it to your heart that we not get distracted in our journey with him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your divine planning. We thank you that you are grace and truth. We thank you for the truth you have revealed to our hearts and the grace that graces us in your presence. We thank you for that finished work of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we are able to always come back to the table and see that tremendous work of grace you have done on our behalf. We thank you for the position that you have granted us as being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that one day we will be with you in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you have made that way for us. And Lord, we ask that you will help us to walk worthy of the calling. Enable us to work worthy of the calling, not in our own strength, but in that grace that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.